Proverbs chapter 23. This is Bible study night. This is the night we try to break down what we're preaching about and kind of look at it different ways. Everybody's familiar with this scripture, and we'll talk about it. But hold your place there for a minute, because I'm laying down a foundation for what I believe is going to happen this year. And you know, it's all right. The church has to understand, it's all right to hear something over and over. Actually, it's the principle of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say faith comes because you heard the Word. Faith comes by hearing, a continually hearing of the Word over and over and over. Because it takes a while to get from your head to your heart. Amen. It's not that far, but sometimes it takes, well, I've had things that took years to get from here to my spirit or my heart. You know, Brother Hagin often said there's one enemy of real faith, and that's called mental assent. That means you know it up here, but you don't have it right here. And it'll get you in trouble when you think you know it, you don't know it down here. You move out on things and do things that sometimes out of the will of God. So you need to hear something over and over and over, because the Word of God is like a seed. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. And we know a seed has to be planted. All of us know. In order for have a harvest, we have to plant a seed. Amen. And the Bible says about itself that the Word of God is a seed. Yeah, yeah. Then we know when we plant the seed has to be watered, right? Yeah. You're not going to get a harvest without water. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So the Word of God, number one, has to be planted, and that's planted when you hear it. Number two, the Word of God has to be watered, and it's watered when you hear the same word again. That's watering the Word. And as you water the Word, the Bible says God will give the increase, or He gives the harvest. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's the hardest thing for church. It's amazing to me. It's really amazing. That in this church, there were probably only three or four people that knew what Luke 6:38 says. I'm not getting on you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Say, Pastor, I love you. It's amazing. We're no different than our children. Our children try to get what we have, or took years for us to get. I remember when we got married, it took me and Penny a long time to have good furniture. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's been only the last 3 years that we got rid of some of the things that we slept on our entire life. Thank God we did. We're able to change the mattress, but the headboards and the footboards and all those things came from my mama's house. Anybody know about that? Most of our furniture. But our children think, man, we'll get married, we're going to have a house, we're going to fill it up with new furniture, just like that. Yeah. And it gets them in trouble. Yeah. Right? Say, that's not good wisdom to do that. Well, we do that in the natural realm as God's people. We hear something and we want it then, right there. We want it. Boy, that sounds great. I got it. Yeah. And it don't work that way. You have to. Now, there are some times, let me say this, there are some times God will give you a rhema word you will never forget as long as you live. It will set you free, and you just never forget as long as you live. It's inside. It comes. And that's part of what God does on some occasions. But normally it doesn't work that way. A seed has to be planted, has to be watered, and God gives the increase. And if you don't know Luke 6:38, you might as well forget about the prosperity issue. That's just opening the door. Can I talk to you tonight, man? Can I really talk to you like you ought to be talking to? Because this generation is a generation that we believe is ushering in the real kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, none of this is going to take place. Nothing. Unless it's first hide that word. David said, if I hide the word of God in my heart, I will not sin against God. So if you're not friendly with the word, you won't see. If you're not a soaker of the word, I used to call them Bible thumpers when I was coming up in the faith message. They used to call Bible thumpers. Those are the ones that open their Bible and get their pen out and pad, and they put down amen. When the preacher said amen, they wrote amen on that pad. The preacher said glory, hallelujah, they wrote it down. That's not what we did. We wrote down everything, hours after hours after hours after hours, and let that word take root in our heart. And, you know, when it takes root in your heart, you'll get a harvest. Amen. Now, I'm not here to beat you down tonight. I got to face God. That's one thing that reality comes sometimes to my life as a preacher of the Word of God. That I work for God. I don't work for you. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. Amen. God works through you to bless me through the hands of men. And if you don't want to bless me, God's good enough to bring it somewhere else. But I work for God, and I'm going to stand before God one day and give account of what I said from the pulpit. And I want you to know when I stand before the Word, Jesus, I don't want him to say to me, why didn't you tell him the Word? Why didn't you tell him how important it was to know the Word? I want to stand before the Lord and say, well done, Preacher Mike. You give them at least the word as you saw it. And I believe it's right. Now, you get scriptures. We read a lot of scriptures, but I'm just telling you, if you don't know the word, you can't have the harvest. You can shout all you want to, cry all you want to, beg all you want to, jump all you want to, come to church all you want to. Do whatever you want to. You can give all the money you want to, but if the word is not in your heart, God has nothing to work with. Right. Always remember the supernatural is super and natural. Yeah. See, I can hear some of you right now. Won't you move on, Pastor Mike? Well, because you need to hear it over and over. That if you don't know Luke 6:38, you better go home and learn it. You better go home and write it. Get those little index cards. We've done it for years and wrote it down, pinned them around the house, wore them in our pockets, got them out at work, looked at them, memorized them, say them backwards and forwards. And until you can do that, then you're not going to have that word in you. And if the word's not in you, he can't do nothing for you. Okay? Say, okay, I got it now. So next week, I want homework is learn Luke 6:38. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over through the hands of men. For what might you give, it shall be given back unto you. You got it? All right. Glory to God. So it's very important we hear the same word over and over until you just get almost nauseated. Till you want to get up and run out. You're about there. And when you get to the place, if he says it one more time, I promise you, I'll puke. You're just about right. You're just about ready for that thing to take root in you. If I hear that preacher preach one more time on that sermon, I'm just going to get up and run out. Well, you're about where you ought to be. Amen. I can't tell you. And you heard it and you hear me over and over. I just can't tell you how many hours and many days and months, if you add it all together, and the money spent and the time that I spent, Jeff spent, Pam spent, Penny spent, others that I know of, in listening to the Word of God, wearing out tape machines. I mean, we used to get them cassette tapes and they break. You know, they wear out easy. You run them backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. One day it's going to pop on you. We got so good we could take them apart, put a tape around them, cut them, slice them, put the tape around them and listen to them again and again. We already knew what that little piece we cut out said. We just run them, loan them out. I mean, priceless. Priceless. And we didn't have nobody encouraging us. We didn't have nobody telling us the importance of it. We just, by revelation, by inspiration and revelation from the Holy Spirit, we knew that was necessary. I didn't know what Romans 10:17 was, even in the Bible, for my whole young life in church. Never knew that faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It was only in those years of forming, sitting down at nighttime. We used to meet at 12 midnight on Friday night at my house and gather around and put on cassette tapes by Brother Hagin and just sat back and listen to him and then get up and just act like children, just acted out what was taught us. And I'm telling you, that's why we're at tonight. Amen. Let me tell you what happened today. And it's true. You gave me that coat, that cowboy looking coat. Penny can't stand it. But everywhere I go, I get compliments on them. Men say, "Where'd you get that thing?" I didn't know it today, but it's got, you can put your leg through those stirrup things for a horse. I didn't know that day. Somebody told me that today. But Wednesday we try to go to the food trough. You know what that is? On Wednesday, you go and you can get, I tell you, for you seniors, if you don't know, if you're age 55 and over, you eat $6 and something at the food trough at the daytime after 2 o'clock. That's including your drink. That's pretty good, ain't it? A couple can eat for $13, something like that. Well, you know, I don't never tell them, but I was dressed up today. I have my jeans on, my boots on, and my coat on, and my hair slipped back, and I'm walking in, and the girl charged me regular price. She said, "You're not no senior, are you?" Oh boy, my head got big. I said, "I'm 60, be 61 April." "No, you don't look at it." I said, it's not numbers, it's mileage. I said, "This is what non-drinking, non-smoking, no non-partying, and all that'll do for you to make you young." Amen. Thank you for your three. Where's Miss Penny? Why'd I say all that? Where's Miss Penny? Miss Penny, where you at? I was thinking about how the Word takes root in you, right? And how the Word works. Yeah. Amen. It's important. I can't stress it, how important it is to hear the Word more than once. Yeah. That's why we give CDs away. I mean, it's expensive. I don't know how much we spend now, but it's getting up there. When you give, Jeff is constantly doing CDs, and I thank God for it, but we give them away. We give them away because we know the importance, and we will give them. That is my pledge to God. If we have 5,000 people here, you can bet a bottom dollar we're going to give those CDs away. Pastor Mike, you need to sell them. Well, we believe they ought to be given away because they're important. So you get them. No excuse here. Grab them. Listen to them over and over. Play with them like, you know, flying saucers for a little bit. And then stick them back and play and listen to them over and over and over and over. Because one of these days I might walk in here and just ask some of you leaders, "What did I preach on Sunday?" No, I won't do that. All right. We're building a foundation. And building a foundation for this year. This year is supernatural breakthrough. Say that with me. Supernatural breakthrough. Breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? It's a significant and dramatic overcoming of an obstacle. Or when the unexpected suddenly happens. It's when the unexpected suddenly happens. This year, we believe, is the year of suddenlies. Oh, yeah. Things just suddenly happening. Amen. Amen. Yeah. 10 in the Bible means completeness of order. It's 2010. So 10 in the Bible means completeness of order. Nothing lacking and nothing over. It signifies the cycle is complete and everything is in its proper place. For instance, the Ten Commandments contains all that is necessary and no more than necessary. The tithe, which is the tenth of your income, represents all that is due God. Yes. So I believe the cycles are ended. and they are broken. And you will have a significant and dramatic overcoming of all obstacles and unexpected suddenlies this year. Now see, this is what you got to do. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. Brother Jeff started preaching my sermon. But even though we believe that, even though we say that, even we talk about that, it won't happen to you unless you set yourself in position to receive it. That's where the battle's lost or the battle's won. It's when people receive a word that's contrary to their circumstance. They have a choice. That's why God made us like God. That's why we are little gods, because we have the power of choice. Animals don't have that choice. We have to care for them. We have to take care of them. They don't have that. I mean, they can do what they want to, but it's not like our choice of death and life. And that's where the battle's lost or won. It's when people just hear something and they don't make a mindset to receive or walk in it. For instance, you got to catch up. If breakthroughs don't speak to you and don't speak enough into you so you'll say it and talk it and walk it and hope for it and believe for it, you'll never receive it this year. And everybody needs a breakthrough.
Amen.
I don't care how much money we got or what we look like or how holy we think we are. We all got problems. Some of us are carrying some we've carried since we've been born. Others carrying them because of relationships. It's not just because of the lack of money you need a breakthrough or health or something. Our mind, man. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Our mind moving into the breakthrough. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Moving into the breakthrough. Positioning ourselves to walk in that breakthrough. Walk in the places where the suddenlies happened this year. To be available in position so dramatic things and it can be broken in our life. So we can walk through this year and hold our head up and walk like we're Christians and have an effect on this world and have a testimony that like that we live in a life that cannot be erased, that we are true blue Christians, that the greater one lives in us and that we have the right of it and the power to use the name of Jesus and authority to break down the powers of the enemy. I mean, we ought to be kicking butt everywhere we go. We ought to be kicking the devil right in the eye. We ought to walk into mess up places and turn them around. That's our heritage. That's our right. We are bigger than what we think we are. Because the big one lives in us. Amen. And I mean, it's only been a week, and some of y'all already look like you've been having the, you know what, beat out of you. It's just been a week.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm like Brother Kennedy. I believe somebody wants to hear this. If I didn't, honest to God, I'm in a position I don't have to do this. But I do it because I believe I'm called to do it. But I'm telling you, folks, it's a sad thing when God's people just, one week in the year, just like you're already beat up. You just got started, man. I love you. Moving into your breakthrough. Proverbs 23:7. We all know this. For as he thinketh, or she thinketh in his or her heart, so is he. What a powerful, powerful verse in the Bible. As a man thinketh or a woman thinketh in his heart or his spirit, so is he. The first step into moving into the breakthrough year is to take a giant step in your mind. If you don't move in your mind, you stay like you are. If you don't set out with a vision and a dream and a purpose and a mindset to move past dramatic situations in your life, you will be sitting, like Brother Jeff said, the same way you sit at the beginning of this year. And even tonight, you'll be sitting the same way when we end up 2018. 10 if you don't have a make a giant step in your mind. Amen.
Amen.
You have got to change the way you think in order to change the way you live. As a man thinketh, so is he. The devil made me do it. Oh, it's the devil's fault. The devil's after me. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box, throw away the key. For all the tricks he's done on me. Let me tell you, the biggest trick done on you is you doing it to yourself.
Amen.
I wish I could really tell you what I think the devil really is, but I'd have to be on email writing everybody why you said that. I'll tell you this, and you can't argue this. You can try to argue, but there's nothing about it. In our covenant, in our New Testament covenant, there is no devil. He's been annihilated in that covenant, in the blood. He cannot exist in the blood. No darkness can be in light. If there's darkness and light, then we are not in the light. So in our covenant, positionally wise, the devil has been annihilated. He is not the problem in our covenant. In the New Testament covenant, the problem is us. Our religious mindset. Our thinking, our messed up thinking. Our unrenewed mind. We think mortal, we think men, we see each other as flesh and we don't think spiritual. We don't think godly thought. And therefore we suffer the consequence of not reaping the covenant benefits. So as a man or woman thinketh, so is he. Not the devil shaping me. It's not the devil shaping me. I won't give him the glory at all that he's shaping me in my life. I'm shaping my own life. By my thoughts. What I think about it. So in order to go in this breakthrough, I said the same last year. This message was preached the first of last 2009, setting up the mindset because it makes no difference what we say from this pulpit and what we elaborate on and what we get people to come in to say and what we show on the videos and what we portraying our singing and our worship. If it don't get past your mind, it cannot affect your life.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. So, you know, the Pentecostal folk, thank God for the Pentecost. That changed my life when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I learned right off bat, the Holy Ghost won't make me live right. Some of the most messed up, mean people in the world are Holy Ghost filled people. Because they just want to jerk and jive and do all this stuff and never change their mind about nothing. They don't know the word. They don't know the word. Ask that man over. And bless it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to preach, but he's my friend. We talk. He's out among, and I'm not talking about, I'm not calling no denomination. Charismatics the same way. They got a lot of noise, but very little substance. And your noise is not going to take you through life. You're not going to holler the devil out of your life.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you're not going to change. But when you change your mind, when your mind begins to grasp hold of what God is saying, things begin to change.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to hear it over and over and over and over and over until you can just about preach it yourself. Well, when I began to preach faith, I preached nothing but what Brother Hagin preached. That's all I knew.
Right.
I preached the same sermon he did.
Yep.
Except I spit and cried. He didn't. I listened to the tape over and over and over, and I could get up and preach the same thing. Tell you the stories, and I just change them a little bit. Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said. This is what happened to Brother Hagin.
Right.
Amen. Over and over. Until my mind began to change. And when my mind began to change, my circumstances, my circumstances didn't change. I changed.
Right. Amen.
I had wisdom on how to deal with things in different ways.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
As a man or woman thinketh in his heart, so is he. Psychologists tell us all order or disorder is caused by our style of thinking. Psychologists know that. They know if you what you think determines a lot of situations in your life. That's why they talk to you. That's why they go back from the day you were born as much as they can and talk you through and see where you're coming from. See why you're thinking that way. What made you think that way? Because if you think you're a victim, your whole life will be a victim. I mean, nobody can help you because whatever happens in your life, you know, be it unto me. I'm a victim. You think that way. Amen. And so disorder or order in lives comes from a person's thought life. As a man thinketh, so is he. Or a woman thinketh, so is he. Just like people have different styles of clothing that they wear. I mean, wherever they're born, New Yorkers and people up north dress different than people in South. People of color and people of nationalities dress different. Mexican people or Hispanic people dress different than American people, unless you're from Puerto Rico. Amen. They and that's fine. That's their culture. That's their style. That's what they've been brought up in. That's what they've seen all their life. That's them, their style. And so are we as humans. Whatever environment we're raised in, whatever part we've been in, all of our upbringings and all the things we've been through and around and all the jobs we've taken and all the relationships we have and all the things we've done begin to make a style of thinking.
Right.
You grew up in a home that was victims, and you're going to be that way unless the Word of God, a truth comes to you and you choose to change your mindset and say, I ain't going to be like Big Mama, a mama, or daddy. I'm not going to live like my cousin lived. I'm not going to do that. I'm not the same way. Your style changes as your thought life changes.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Northerners and Southerners don't think the same.
Right.
They talk different.
Yeah.
People in foreign countries are different.
Right.
You go, you know, I got a nephew in Japan. And just hearing Japan people talk sound like to me they're mad all the time. Chinese or Japanese, you know. It makes no sense. Southern people say, hello. Thank you, ma'am. How you doing, ma'am? Hey, y'all. You see, it's the style. It's where you come from. And where you come from has a lot to do with the way you are. And that's why when you come to the Word of God, we're all on the same playing field. The Word of God has the ability in it to bring a different style to your life. It can bring a different kind of thinking because it's supernatural. It's a seed. And a seed always produces a harvest.
Right. Amen.
Yep. So enter into this breakthrough year, take a giant step. And don't be a victim in this year, please. I really don't think some people will make it another year like 2009 was. I really don't. I really believe, as much as I've been around people all my life, I know some people in this church, it's just got to work this year. It's just got to work. It's got to change. Something got to break. And you're the one that determines that. You know, I grew up in a church that wept and cried and spent many hours, and I believe in that, and I believe we ought to do that. We ought to have spiritual awakenings, and we ought to be at the altar crying and weeping, and we ought to be doing those things. I believe in it. I told you, I can't wait till I see snot dripping all the way to the floor. I grew up in that. That's me. I work well in that. Me and Brother Jeff will have a heyday in that, man. We'll wipe the snot right back up there and keep praying on it. That's what we grew up in. That was our style. Spitting and crying and jumping and moving and running is our lifestyle. I'm looking for that. But I'm telling you, we missed a vital part of that move was when all that's done, you got to get something in your head. You know, you got to have some kind of preaching. I mean, it was popular in our day. Our brother would tell you, for people that we had a wonderful service. There wasn't no preaching today. We had a Holy Ghost meeting today. The preacher didn't get to preach. Am I telling the truth? We ran around the church. We jumped and we bucked and we spit. And we had a brand old kind. And we went home. And by Monday, most people would say, Lord, I'm tired. And by Wednesday, that some of them didn't come back to church. So, you got to put the right things together. I don't think it's a choice. I don't think we should have to make a choice of having a spiritual meeting or a word meeting. I think all of it's spiritual. I think the running and the bucking and the hollering and the word is vital. And a thriving church will do all of it. When it's necessary, like Sunday, and the Spirit of God came and we went on with the word. You know, that's just me. That's what I believe in. If we can possibly get some word in there, get it in there. Because the mindset's got to change. Amen. Whatever your core belief is determines your style of thinking. What do you mean core belief? You can tell what a person's core belief is if you just talk to them long enough. Especially when they're in trouble or when situations are affecting them. Adversity comes. You can tell immediately what a core belief is in a person. A person that really believes that God is a healer, sickness comes. He doesn't say when he sneezes, I got a cold, I'm going to die with the flu. I learned a long time ago, if I sneeze, I say, glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. But if your core belief is that, you know, God's not a healer, he hits me want to, when you sneeze, I'm coming down with the flu. I had it last year, I guess I'll have it this year. I always tell you, I ain't going to have it. I don't want it. What do I want it for? Flu you get today, you die with it. I ain't ready to die. I don't want to die right now. When adversity come, a core belief, if you believe in the prosperity of God, it ain't that you don't get down. It ain't that you don't look like sometimes, man, what's wrong with you? Man, the pressure's on. I mean, you know, it's not a happy do thing when they turn off your lights. I'm not a happy camper when the lights go off. But I know this. I won't always be off. God is not going to let me stay in the dark. Somebody will help me. Somewhere God will hear. Somebody. Glory to God. Of course, my core belief is that he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm not a victim. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. My thinking determines my outcome. You know what a core belief is in a person? When a plane's going down. You know, Hollywood always hollers out Jesus. It's amazing. On in movies, when they're going down, you see them praying, holding hands, doing all the things what they can do. Now, a true person believes in God. If a plane's going down, you bet your bottom dollar he's praying to God. Amen. He believes that there might be possibly some help. But an atheist, what's he doing? Sitting about twiddling his thumbs? If he's a real atheist? He don't pray because his core belief is what there's nobody to pray to. I guess he just, you know, I ain't really ever seen a lot of atheists when people are dying. Most people pray. I mean, I've been in rooms of hundreds of people died. I mean, even people you thought were not prayers, a pray. Whatever your core belief is, determines your outcome. The problem with us and people of God is that we just don't have enough word in us and we let our situation determine how we think. when we should let the Word of God determine how we think. Amen. The Bible don't even say a man's situation determines how he thinks. The Bible says the Word of God determines that. What kind of people would be if we just... Listen to this. Driving without your hands on the steering wheel is not a wise thing to do. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
It can cause a lot of needless pain. Whether you're driving a bicycle, tricycle, or a car. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Your mind is the steering wheel of your life. Unfortunately, many people neglect to stir their own life. They're like pool balls. They are constantly knocked around by cues, bouncing off rails. Anybody ever play pool? People that don't gird their mind up, or people who don't study the Word of God, or steer their mind or think on the right things, and they just let their situation stir them around, or people stir them around. Emotions, you know, emotions can take you here and there. But when emotions runs out, you lost. So if you don't stir your mind, if you don't gird your mind up, if you don't have the mindset for the breakthrough, you can bet your bottom dollar, your situations are going to bounce you around. All the cues of life is going to be like a cue ball hitting you around and everywhere of your life. And that's a bad way to live. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. That's not the recipe for a happy and successful life. Now, people think you're weird when you get where you don't cry at everything. People think you're weird. Oh, you just deny. You know, I don't know, people, I don't know about you, but I've spent my whole life, most of my life, trying to please people. I've always found out nobody stays forever. And if I change the way I think because of other people, when they leave, I'm in a mess.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why when people come, relationships with people come into your life, don't ever change your core belief.
Amen.
Now, if it don't line up with the Word and God sends relationships to you, yes. But if it's just an emotional thought, something, you know, can't be backed by the Word of God, don't ever change your core belief. Because those people, sooner or later, are going to leave your life. Nobody ever stays forever. Think about it. The friends you had all your life, count them right now. How many you got left? Important people that were in your life. Has anybody ever changed their life because an important person was in your life at the time? And you changed your life, and when they left, you said, man, I wish I hadn't.
Yes, sir.
I mean, all of us do that. That's why you got to have a core belief. That's why you've got to have a mindset of the Word of God in you to keep you stable. Because if you let people change you, If you want people to love you all your life, you're in trouble. Especially if you're in ministry. You can't. I mean, Lord, I think sometime we ought to have a pastor summit. I think we'll have Tell It Like It Is Day. Give me some old timers up here and say, now, tell it like it is. That if you change your ministry for somebody that gives you a big check, or somebody that pumps you up, that elevates you, the only person that tells you you preached a good sermon every week, takes you out to eat all the time. If you change your belief, core belief, because of that, I can tell you, somewhere down the line, that person's going to leave you, and you're going to be like a lost person. And all the things you could have accumulated and had in God and done in God will be lost and wasted. Don't ever change your core belief because of emotions or somebody else pressuring you if it lines up with the Word. Let me say it again. There are times God sends relationships into your life, helps you get on track. And you lined up with the Word of God, there's nothing no greater than that. But if you're just changing every time somebody gets in your life, this way, that way, up, down, up, down, and you don't have a grounded mind set, you're going to be messed up sooner or later. That's why right now, that's why I'm preaching on breakthrough. Every sermon, don't get bored with it, because you're going to hear it for a while until it gets in you, because there are circumstances. Even though I'm preaching for breakthrough, I know this year it's going to be some tough times. Anybody with common sense, they don't even have to have God in their life to know crazy people up in Washington and doing all this crazy stuff is going to stir us all kind of ways.
Right.
Amen. I didn't call no names. You know, they changed the Bible. They got a new revelation coming out. A new revelation of the Bible coming out. You know where it says that all liars have their place in hell? They changed it and said, all liars have their place in Washington. You can laugh on it. Come on, man. Laughter is like medicine. Good for the soul. I know where I'm at, Isaiah 55. Here's what it says. Let the wicked... See, Brother Jeff, you said some things tonight already. Did you say something about twisted, wicked? Did you read my book? You ain't been in there? Don't mess with my book now. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Now get what it's talking about. Thoughts. Wicked thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The word wicked here is where we get the word twisted. Wicker furniture, twisted, made out of twist, wicker furniture. This word wicked, if you look it up, does not mean an unrighteous man. It's talking about twisted thinking. Thoughts are twisted. Has anybody ever been friends with a twisted thinking person? Anybody ever had a church folk show it up at your house with twisted thinking? Is someone unrighteous in their thinking? The church that I grew up in and the church of Vista, I told Brother Jeff, it just looked like, and we need to go back to preaching simplicity of holiness, not legalistically living. I'm not talking about dress codes, long dresses, nothing, you know, tell you women that it's ungodly to say shave your legs and wear deodorant, you know, nothing like that. But there need to be somebody that talks about living right. I mean, it's showing up boldly in churches everywhere. Showing up boldly. I mean, God, there's some things when I wasn't right with God that I never would do in the house of God or say in the house of God. Or even sometimes think in the house of God. If I had to hold my head, I wouldn't think, you know, that. But today, it's an all-out war. I mean, bold. So, you know, you might hear some preaching on holiness. Purity. Purity. Being pure. Pure in your thoughts. Pure in your motive, because you won't have pure motives without pure thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
So you might hear some good old down home preaching on holiness.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Wicked in their thinking, unrighteous. What I was going to say, I got it back. that we grew up. I did. I grew up. My church. I grew up on what unrighteous living was. I mean, I didn't even hold Penny's hand. My daddy never saw me hold Penny's hand in the presence of my daddy. I mean, you talking about living right, if you want to call it living right. I never saw my daddy with his undershirt off the whole life that he lived. That's pretty tough. How in the world? Never saw him. We'd have baptism, my daddy'd be in a different room with all of us. Well, Jeff never saw me with my shirt off till I was 31 years old. We never went swimming with bathing suits. We went swimming fully clothed. That's why I can't swim. It's hard to swim with clothes on. I know about living right, that kind of right, legalistically and all that stuff, dress codes. But they didn't tell us unrighteous thinking, effect. How important it was that was the reason you were living that way. Thinking ungodly thoughts produces ungodly motives, and motives were produces a lifestyle. I'm just going to be plain with you. You think you lust enough? Any man, I don't care who he is. If you just dwell on nakedness long enough, I don't care how many Bibles you have stacked at home. If your mind gets perverted long enough, your actions, your mind will carry your hands and feet in the wrong direction.
Amen. That's the truth.
It will. I mean, don't think these guys that mess up happen just like that. No, man, they didn't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to mess up my marriage and I'm going to mess up my church today. No, they entertained a thought in their mind. Something grabbed them. Instead of casting that down and praying through and repenting and getting some help and talking to somebody and whatever. They didn't, and that thought became more and more, and a picture of what could happen and how it could be. And before you know it, the body followed what was thinking, and bam, it's gone. It was not, in many cases, intended, but it will happen. So you have to keep the thought life correct. Amen? Amen? Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. See, thoughts? Even God said, verse 8 of Isaiah 55, even God says, your thoughts produce your ways. See, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. Thoughts produce ways. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. The breakthrough, what time is it? How many times? Y'all didn't give me no time. And how many time you give me? Thanks, staring at a big zero on there. I quit at 8:30. How many minutes you been on there? No, I ain't been preaching no 50 minutes. Cheating me. I saw 40-something more, about 50 minutes. I'm going to quit at 8:30. I know. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Message Bible says, so roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazy slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, you do now. As obedient children, let yourself be pulled into the way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. So you have to be careful not to let your mind just get out of gear. Just, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm all right. You know? Don't read the Bible for a month. I'm all right. Don't go to church. Hit and miss. Put yourself in neutral. You know, the other things that guide you, man, they get in there and turn your mind the wrong way. Roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. Ready to receive the gift that's coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
How do you put your mind in gear? Number one, I got three little things. We'll close. How do you put your mind in gear? How do you set your mind for a breakthrough year? You begin to monitor and control what you hear. Some of you need to turn the channel. Days of life will mess your life up. One life to live, or as the world turns, will turn your life upside down. What's them housewives? What is it?
Desperate.
Even that title even not good. Desperate. You need to turn the channel, man. Monitor what you hear. Avoid any communication that will take you towards self-destruction. In other words, if it don't lift you up, it must be taking you down. Don't listen to it. And you're not going to get any lifting up watching the one-eyed monster 3 hours a night. And never opening your Bible. Listening to all the filth and garbage that goes over the TV. I have 200 and something channels. And I get so tired of flipping channels. I know some of you good righteous people say turn it off. Sometimes we do. Y'all need to live Miss Penny. I call her Lily White. Sometimes you don't need to be watching that. Turn it. I'm going in the bedroom if you don't turn it. So I turn it. I'll be sitting by myself. Dog goes with us, so I'm by myself. And I don't mean intentionally be that way, but dang, I get bored at just looking at people cooking food. You know? Bridezilla. Anybody ever seen Bridezilla? Zilla? Bridezilla? That's Bethany's favorite program where they gonna marry these women. It's a bunch of phony. Ain't no man in the world gonna marry a woman like that. He's stupid. He ain't no man. They get to fussing over everything, and that little old man walks to that altar, and he cussing him. Baloney bull. Monitor what you hear. Might have to turn off the TV. Listening, well, that's good. Don't have it, you can't see it. You got somebody always bringing you down, taking you down. You know, you might need to change a little bit. Get a different relationship somewhere. Number two, begin to monitor what you talk about. Speak what you want to happen. And being silent about what you don't want to happen. It's a principle. Talk about what you want to happen. This is my breakthrough year. That's what you got to talk about. Man, I can't wait for my suddenlies. I can't, man, something going to break off me this year. You won't know me at the end of the year. What you got to tell people? Look at me now. I got some rough places, but some of them be gone by the end of the year. Amen. So what you got to talk about that? Don't talk about, oh, how bad it is. Did you hear what they said? No, I didn't. Don't want to know. Amen. Monitor what you hear. Monitor what you talk about. You get what you say. Many people do the opposite. Be careful because words have creative power. They take you somewhere. You will follow your words. You just say, well, I'm mad. Some people say I'm mad at that other word. They get that way because they're following what they believe.
Right. Yeah.
And number three, begin to monitor what you do. Do things that produce good results. God. It's amazing to me how we repeat the cycles. We know where they're going to lead us. We've been there before. We know the consequence of doing it. But yet, some reason, we just go like Israel did, around the mountain, over and over. And God sends things to our life, sends men and women of God. Even God speaks. He speaks through nature. He speaks through a lot of things. That's what gets me about Christians. He's speaking to us through the world. And we ought to be on our knees. On Wednesday night should be prayer night alone for our nation right now. Our churches should be full of praying people, praying for our nation. But we're asleep. Some way we think we're going to get by with it. Some way we're going to just be, you know, we just, God's going to overlook us. But he isn't. We sow, we reap. We sow, we reap. We're taking our children. And I'm not here to politic person. I've been here 14 years. I don't talk politics. But I mean, when it's just so stuffed down your throat type of stuff, like that disconnected from average people. If we don't do something, our children, it's going to pay an awful price for our silence. And for our sitting here like, God's going to take care of us. You better get your pencil out voting time.
That's right.
And make some changes up yonder.
Amen.
You can do that without picketing. You can do that without hitting and cussing and raising cane. You can go to the voting booth and change a lot of things. Hopefully somebody step to the front can make a difference. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd run myself. There's that spitting man on TV. There he is. Crying our nation. Hey. Absolutely refuse to let a feeling or compulsion steer you in a harmful harmful direction. It's time, man. It's time that we, a people of God, work this thing like it ought to be worked. It's called kingdom living. It's not called religion. And I tell us often, and it offends people, but you need to hear, it is not about us getting to heaven. We've made this thing. We took the joy out of living. And we took the power out of living. We took our testimony out of living. Because most Christians are just waiting till the day the Lord comes and gets them out of this mess. When we should be making kingdom changes. Kingdom advancements. Jesus, when he was on earth, he messed up Satan's order. He messed up Satan every time. Satan was came running and asked Jesus, why are you here tormenting me? And look how we are. We let him torment us. Because we're not living it. We have no power because our mind is so defeated. We've got to live this thing. We've got to take back we've given to the devil. We'd sing a song. I never would sing it. Go to the enemy's camp, take back what he stole from me. I never would sing that. I said, I go to the enemy's camp, take back what I give him. Because he ain't stole. He don't steal nothing I don't give him. He has no authority in my life at all, except one thing. When the word is sown in Mark chapter 4, that Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your life. See, he's right there when the word's sown. Like tonight, he's here. He's in the car when you get in the car. He's going to be pecking at you.
Right.
Just don't pay that no attention. You got plenty of time. We ain't got much time. Let's stand. We don't have a whole lot of time. Breakthrough. Suddenlies. Supernatural changes taking place. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, lift your hands up with me and pray with me. Father, I bless you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for your word.